May the words of my mouth and the meditations of each and every heart be acceptable unto you, O God, our Creator and Redeemer. Amen. If you were able to slip into the mind of a minister the week before Advent begins, you would be, well, horrified. The mind of a minister is a dangerous place to wander about at the best of times. None of us is all that stable. But a week before Advent, essentially you'll find yourself lost in a maze of liturgical confusion. You'll be tripping over mental hymnaries and caught awkwardly between the incessant, do we sing Christmas carols during Advent or don't we, debate that never lets up. You'll find yourself stuck in a corner with the common lectionary, essentially a list of prescribed scripture readings for the season, in the same uncomfortable way one sometimes finds oneself stuck in a corner at a cocktail party, talking with someone that you don't remember their name, and they've got kind of bad breath, and all you really want to do is hit the buffet table or the bar. You'll find yourself overwhelmed with words, words upon words upon words, crashing around said minister's brain, ducking and dodging as she desperately tries to grab the right ones to use, tries to build prayers that say it all, create homilies that are relevant yet not too offensive, tries to pull together a series of worship services that will feel connected and uplift and uphold the people she loves in a time of year that is dark and cold and chaotic and rather overwhelming and yet at the same time so incredibly beautiful. So, if you are thinking of spending time in a minister's brain this Advent, take my advice and wait until December 26th. When all the worship dust settles and she's had a nap. One of the hardest things about Advent, for those of us who prepare for it, is how do we make it new? How do we actively engage those of you who come here longing to find the Christ child in a way that you've never encountered him before? The temptation to make this year bigger, better, and brighter than last year swells up within us, and we soon find ourselves drenched in gimmicks and lost in cliché. Then, of course, there's a fear that we will ultimately fail, that we will tell the old, old story, one that we love so deeply, but that this year it just won't resonate, that this will be the year it fails to impress, fails to bring us to that place of hope, fails to kindle the Christmas spirit we all seem so desperate to find. I recall tucking Grace into bed a number of years ago now on Christmas Day night. She was 9. She said, "Mom, I wish Christmas felt like it did when I was 5. I knew exactly what she meant. She longed for a time when Christmas was magical and new and exciting. A time when the things she'd hoped for had not only come true, but had exceeded expectation. At 9, well, she'd kind of reached that moment when the magic starts to fade, when she didn't get everything she wanted. No pony, big surprise. When doubt began to sneak its way into her heart for the very first time. It happens to all of us, I suppose. And it's no wonder. The world we live in is changing, times are hard, the future uncertain. How then do we turn at Advent and proclaim hope when for so many that box is empty? I mean, we try and find it, we wander around desperately looking for it, groping for that feeling we had when we were 5. But somehow it seems to have slipped through our fingers at some point, almost without us noticing. There's a beautiful song by Faith Hill called "Where Are You, Christmas?" A line in it says, "My world is changing. It's rearranging. Does that mean Christmas changes too?" It's a fair question. In a world governed by politics, economics, and power, the idea that one night the world changed and changed for the better? Well, It's becoming kind of hard to believe. Isaiah, that amazing poet turned prophet, proclaimed that the time would come when the world would be touched with peace and all the nations would stream to the house of God. Imagine that for a minute. People lining up to get into church the way they line up outside the Apple Store for the newest iPhone. Seems impossible, right? And yet, as the angel will say to Mary in just a few short weeks, nothing is impossible with God. Take Majid al-Mashrari and Rahman Abutif, for example. Two engineers from Palestine who, when faced with the lack of resources needed in the Gaza Strip to rebuild their homes, businesses, schools, and places of worship, decided to try something new. The two women looked around them and all they could see were ruined buildings and an incredible amount of ash. So they got to work, and they created what they call green cakes, environmentally friendly and cost-effective replacement for traditional bricks. They said people made fun of us. They told us it was impossible. But now reconstruction in Gaza has begun without waiting for outside support or materials. Or what about researchers from the University of Washington and University of York? They describe a new transgenic grass species that can neutralize and eradicate RDX. If you don't know what RDX is, count yourself very lucky. It's a toxic compound that has been widely used in explosives since World War II. Once in the ground, it stays there. Forever. It never goes away. Cleaning it up in affected areas of the United States alone would cost over $165 billion. Imagine what it would cost in places like Syria. But University of Washington engineers introduced two genes from bacteria that learned how to eat RDX and break it down into components of two perennial grass species, switchgrass and creeping grass. The best performing strains removed all the RDX from assimilated soil they were planted in as seedlings 2 weeks earlier. They retained none of the toxic components. Or how many of you have seen the video of Jonathan Jones that went viral this week? Anybody see this? At 12 years old, he has never, in his life, not once, seen color. He is so severely colorblind that his life has always been, and always will be, various shades of gray. Imagine that for a moment. A lifetime of gray. Seeing in color was impossible, they were told. Upon learning of his condition, however, his principal, who shockingly had the same disorder, shared with him a special gift that he himself had received for Christmas 2 years earlier. The result was, well, watch.
All yours. Okay, they're all yours. See what it does. So what do you think then? With people?
He cried.
That's awesome. Hey, come here. Come here, dude. Oh, he's happy for you. My mother's in there too. That is so awesome. I told you it's gonna be a little emotional. Hey, now that just tells you how beautiful the world you have. God, I got to see it for the first time, right? So be happy, be appreciative of it. Right? That is so cool.
Don't you want to touch them?
I want to touch every color, right? Go ahead.
Hey, God, you can laugh and cry in the same day. You have
That is the greatest thing. You've been crying out every day. I'm not kidding. Why don't you keep those for a little while, for a few, you take them home with you today, and just wear them around. I want you to experience as much as you can, and maybe your parents maybe buy them for a pretty cool hat. All right? So let's see what you know about that.
One of his major complaints, apparently, is he couldn't see the colors in the periodic table. In the last week, over $28,000 has been raised since this video went viral. People donating money. If you notice, it was kind of hard to hear. The principal said, you know, if maybe your parents can buy you a pair, because those were his own pair that he gave them. His parents couldn't afford to buy a pair. So they got some funding going, and they now have enough money, but they raised over $28,000, which is all being donated by other kids, these glasses. Impossible things happen all the time. And so it is that we come to this season of Advent. We take on the impossible task of daring to hope, not waiting for it to arrive, not yearning for it, not wondering when it will come to us, but daring to hope right now, in this place and time. In a world that is touched with so much darkness, Advent is the door that, once opened, promises to let the light and the color in. It beckons us towards a future graced with mercy and overflowing with hope. So my friends, be warned. Not only is your minister's brain overflowing and cluttered at this time of year, there will also be nothing new. But come back next week. There'll be no gimmicks, hopefully not too many cliches. The story will be the same as it always has been. A story of hope, peace, joy, and love. It'll be offered in much the same way this church has offered it for nearly 65 years. But somehow this year I know it'll feel as new and as real as if it were the first time we've ever heard it. The story of God, the creator, of the Word made flesh, of the Spirit who moved within the confines of human history and changed everything. The story of an ancient, hope-filled promise, color-infused story, remembered and kept in the birth of a child and held securely within our own hearts, this day and always. Amen.